Writes that God says, sit on my hand. You see that? I want to bring your attention to something. Verse number 42, the last portion. It says, sit thy on my right hand. Now, this portion of scripture that Luke is recording, or that Jesus said, Jesus is bringing this from the Old Testament in Psalms 110, verse 1. David writes, sit thou at my right hand. Luke says about Jesus writing, sit on my right hand. I became a little puzzled because, do you want me to sit at it or do you want me to sit on it? Which one do you want me to do? David writes, sit at my right hand, because Jesus the Messiah had never came. Now that he's here, Luke records what Jesus said is sit on my right hand. Now, the right hand represents a position of authority. So what Jesus is inviting us to do is to allow ourselves to be in the palm of his hand. You get that?
Yes.
So it's no longer do you sit at. He says, I invite you to now sit on. Isaiah 49:16. The Bible declares that God engraved your name in the palm of his hand. So when God invites you to sit on his hand, what he's saying is that I don't care what comes against you.
Come on now.
I got you.
Yeah.
You're in the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
I don't care what storms you go through. You're in the palm of my hands. I don't care how many haters come against you. You're in the palm of my hand. I don't care about your life struggles. You're in the palm of my hand. In other words, what he's saying is that I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you because I got you.
Yes.
Now, your friend may walk out, but he says, I got you.
Yes.
Some people may do some ugly things to you, but he says, I got you.
All right.
And he's a God that cannot forget anything. But just to prove to you that he'll never leave you, never forsake you, he tattoos your name in his hand. Now, when he tattoos your name in his hand, he's saying to Satan, I got that person. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Because you never found your salvation. He graced you salvation. And because he graced you salvation, he's saying, you can't even mess this blessing up. That's what I love about God. Because I'm crazy sometimes. He tells me one thing, but I'm pulled to do something else. Don't act like you don't have that inner struggle in you. Wherever you go to do good, evil is always present. One of the greatest challenges we have in life All of us. Makes no difference where you're from, your background, your age. It doesn't matter. One thing we all share in common, and that is we are all perplexed when it comes to choosing a friend. Now, when I say friend, I refer to a person that kids say friends with benefits. I'm not talking about those kind of benefits, but close. I don't mean benefits where it would take you to something that is sinful, but I mean some of the benefits of being a person friend is that your friend have the right to tell you the truth. Because you knew when you put that dress on,
hallelujah,
and your breasts is what's showing, you knew that was wrong. So a good friend becomes the, I don't know what I said, the good friend becomes the soundboard type where the friend say to you, you know you're wrong for that. A good friend has the privilege and the obligation of saying to you, you know you shouldn't have said that. A good friend has the duty, has the task of saying to you, now you know you gotta pull up. You know you can't keep missing church like that. A friend comes with benefits. And so now that you look and you pray for God to send you a good friend, when that friend comes into your life, we drop our guards around that friend and we begin to share with that friend intimate stuff about us. Someone said there's a thin line between love and hate. That same person that was once your friend, you loaded that person up with your personal information. Now the relationship goes south, and now that person is loaded with ammunition to shoot you. They know what you think, why you think, how you move, how you operate, where you hid your dirt. They know everything about you.
Amen.
And so now when the relationship is not going right, all of your business is now in the streets.
Amen.
And so now you got to deal with not only your business being in the street, but here it is, you have this person with this ammunition that is shooting at you.
Jesus.
Now the Bible declares no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But the Bible does not promise that none of those bullets will not affect me. And so while I know what you're doing won't prosper, it doesn't mean that it won't take me through some painful days.
Yes.
See, one of the things about serving God is that God sometimes involves pain in the process of purification. And so we look at God and say, well, how can God be a loving God, but there's so much pain in my life? You see, pain is the purification. Pain sometimes is the thing that God uses to burn some stuff out of your life. And sometimes the burning gets very uncomfortable because I thought you were my friend. Now why is God shining light on our friendship? I thought you had me, but now I find out that you are operating in the dark. See, not only does pain or light has a way of revealing things, it sometimes has a way of making you walk away and you say, God, how could I have missed that? I'm talking to someone. That friend that you thought, now all of a sudden that person becomes your number one enemy.
Jesus
come on the scene, and when Jesus come on the scene, he is no threat to anyone, so everybody loves him. You need to be careful when everybody approve of what you do. You need to be careful when everybody smile at you. You need to be careful when everybody say that's a wonderful idea. If you got people in your life that never stands up to you, you don't have true friends. If I can't satisfy God all the time, how can I possibly satisfy you? Not only can I not satisfy God all the time, but sometimes God, whom I'm in a relationship with, God does things that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
And so if I'm not always pleased with my Father, pleased with God, how can I always be pleased with you?
Uh-huh.
See, that's the sign of a fake friend.
Yeah.
When everything is okay, everything you say, that's fine. I wonder what that person say about you when you're not there. See, sometimes people won't tell you the truth until you turn your back. And when you turn your back, you know that ain't gonna work. You know that will never happen. That's what they say. But God says something different. Listen to me. In order for you to receive elevation, it must involve rejection. In order for you to be elevated, somebody has to reject you. See, it's the rejection in life that put us in focus. It's the rejection in life that leads us closer to Christ. Because when you begin to reject me, I have to look at myself and say, God, where am I? Not in the mirror, but where am I in comparison to your word? See, as long as we're comparing ourselves to each other, we got it made. But when I open up the word of God and say, look at my actions in here, we all fall short. We're all in the same boat. You may be a liar and I may be a thief, but we're all of sin, every one of us. And so now that we know that we're all sinners, saved by the grace of God,
hallelujah,
we understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so now that we know that God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus come on the scene, and now all of these religious people begin to ask him questions. And they have questions about this and questions about that. So they begin in chapter number 20, they begin by talking to him, setting him up. And you have to be careful when people begin to come to you and you think they're coming for advice, but they're really coming to set you up. So tell me what you think about this. And see, and we just slide right into it. You know, child, I believe this, and my opinion about this is this and this. And then they walk away and they go and tell someone else everything but what you really said. And then when it gets back to you, you saying, I didn't say that. All I said was this. See, but sometimes you have to just shut your mouth and just wait on God, and God will fight your mouth. And sometimes what you think really doesn't matter. And so when we find ourselves talking too much, we get in trouble. And so here's these religious leaders. They come to Jesus and they ask him questions. One of the questions they ask him, they said, listen, there's this woman. She was married, but she didn't have any children. So she married again. She didn't have any children that time. She married again. Didn't have any children. She married again. Didn't have any children. She married seven times. Seven times she married seven different men. So Jesus, when she get to heaven, who's going to be her husband? You ever think about the stupid stuff that people ask you sometimes? When you get to heaven, who's going to be her husband? I don't care. Seven times she was married. And so they ask Jesus, when she gets to heaven, who can claim her as a husband? Jesus replies that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. That's why when you get married, it says to death do us part. See, it makes no difference if you divorce. It says to death do you part. Just because you got a divorce, and you got a divorce, meaning you implemented, you went after, you signed for a divorce, and it wasn't because of adultery or abuse. God says you're still married. And then the next one that married you is committing adultery because you, I'm talking to someone, you know what I'm saying, man. And the next one that married you because you didn't get a divorce for the right reason, now you caused him to commit adultery, and God is saying that sin is upon you. When you get to heaven, you will recognize don't have the same relationship with them. Somebody ought to say amen. Because you're like, woo, Lord, you set me free. Marriage on earth represents Jesus Christ's union with the church. So if Jesus has raptured us, what's the need for symbolic marriage when you're in heaven with Jesus? So in heaven, there's no such thing as marriage. And so Jesus says to them that God is not interested in the dead, he's interested in the living. And so then they begin to seek a trap so that they can trap Jesus. You got some fake friends in your life that's seeking to trap you. And so they go after you and they set you up with these educated questions because they're trying to lead you into a trap. And so you begin to walk in something because you're tunnel vision, because you believe that that person really is my friend, and you find yourself deep into mess and don't know how to get out. God then says about that person, I know what they tried to do to you, but I'll take your enemies and make them your footstool. Now the Bible declares that the earth is God's footstool, which means God sits in heaven, put his foot on the earth, and say, I'll rest my feet right there. You get that? He says, this earth is just a footstool to me. Now a footstool is like a step ladder that is used to move you higher and higher and higher so that you can see more and more and more. And so every time your enemies reject you, God is saying, that's just a stepping stone to move you higher. And see, that's why we need to begin to rejoice in the Lord every time we go through something. Because every time you set a trap for me, all you doing for me, not to me, all you doing for me is you elevating me. You allow God to take me higher. I know you said it couldn't happen, but God said all things is possible. I know you said I couldn't live without you, but God says I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I know you said that I'll never amount to anything, but God says I'm the head and not the tail. I know you said about me, this sickness will take me out, but God says, baby, by my stripes, you're healed. I know you said that I'll run out of stuff, but God says I supply all of your needs. So everything you set up for me, it worked out for my good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. And again, that purpose involved pain to put us in the right position. Purpose involves pain to put us in the right position. Now watch this. God is not angry with you. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you thought about. I don't care what you plan to do when you leave this morning, or who you choose to be with, or how you choose to be with them. God says, I'm not angry with you. When Jesus died on the cross, the anger of God passed to Jesus, and because he died on the cross, God is not angry with us anymore, forever, always, never, ever, ever. Now there's a wrath of God, but not an anger of God. He's not angry with you. He loved you so much that he gave you his only begotten son. But he judges sin. You understand the difference? And so what he's saying is that I'm not angry with you, even though you're doing the wrong thing. I gotta judge the sin, but not you who sin. Because you are a sinner saved by what?
Grace.
Grace is the unmerited what?
Favor
of God. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. I didn't pray for it. He just favored me. He just liked me. He just loved me. He just keeps on making a way. He just keeps on opening doors. He keeps moving my enemies. And every time you do something to me, he says, I make your enemies
your footstool.
Take me higher.
See, God is forever trying to elevate us.
Take me higher, God.
And so your enemies come about. And so your enemy has a way they lie on you.
Yeah.
And they think that lie gonna get you fired. They think that lie gonna make you miss a promotion. They think that lie gonna make you miss a meal. They think that lie is gonna destroy you. And God is saying, now I told you I'll make your enemies your footstool. What I need for you to do is just stand on that lie. I'm elevating you. I'm taking you higher. It's not gonna feel good walking up, but I'm gonna walk you up anyway. I'm elevating you. And the next one come by, and then they set a trap for you. And when they set that trap, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll repay. All I need for you to do is step on that trap. I know what I'm taking you to. And then somebody else come about. And when they come about, they set challenges before you. And God is saying, don't worry about that challenge. I'll fight your battle. I'll make a way out of no way. I'll make your straight places. I'll make your crooked places straight. He says, just keep walking up. Step on the challenge. And then somebody else come by. The non-supporters in life. They ain't got your back. You know the friends, whenever you get into something, you thought they had your back. Come to find out they left you. The non-supporters, just step on it. I make your enemies your footstool. I'm elevating you. I'm taking you higher. The higher you are with me, the more I revelate to you. He says, now somebody else, they come about, and then they begin to tell you about your ugly past. You know your past because you were there, but that's just it. It's my past. I bypass my past. I bypass my sins. I bypass. He says, just step on it. Just walk a little higher. And then here comes somebody else. They're always judging you. I don't like what you wear. Don't like what you live in. Don't like what you drive. He says, just make your enemies your footstool. He says, just keep on walking. See, God will take everything that has happened to you and he'll say, I'm elevating you. I'm walking you up. I'm walking you higher to me. I'm walking you closer to me. He says, don't fret. I know the enemies are coming against you, but don't worry about them. I know they're lying on you, but don't worry about them. I know you got backbiting, but don't worry about them. I know you got haters, but don't worry about them. Baby, I'm going to walk this thing out with you. You want to walk? He says, come on, walk with me, baby. And then he says, when you begin to walk with me, I need for you to understand, I'm ordering your steps. When God begins to order your steps, he begins to push stuff out of the way and pull stuff where it's supposed to be. And when the journey gets so heavy that you can't walk, he said, well, just come on with me. Can you float just a little bit? Come on, just float on, float on, float on. I know it gets heavy sometimes, but just float with me. Just walk with me. He says, even when you get knocked down, he says, take a roll with me. Take a bounce with me. Bounce back up, baby. Ah, good man. He gets knocked down, but he gets up again. You got to learn how to bounce back up. Don't you let the devil hold you down. You better get up, and you better say the devil is a lie. Because I know the Lord that I serve. He's making ways out of nowhere. He's taking you higher. He says, I make your enemies your footstool. All the bad stuff that happened to you, he says, listen, everything bad was just a step to where I'm taking you. If it had not been for cancer, you would have never knew that he was a healer. If it had not been rejection, you never would have known that he'll be a friend that's sitting closer than a brother. If you had not gone through something, how do you know that God will be the God that he is? See, when you begin to walk through something, as you walk through, you take one step and God take another step. As you begin to walk through something, God is saying, I'm making it so that your past doesn't come up again. So every time I begin to order your step, he said, it gets a little dark sometimes, my word will be a lamp. My word will be a light. And so the enemy thought that you were going to stumble and you were going to fall. But God is saying, uh-uh, not now, baby. I'll give you a bridge over your troubled water. I'll give you a life vest when you're sick and in debt. I'll give you some medicine when you're sick. I'll give you sunshine in the rain. I'll give you joy in the pain, because I am the God all by myself. What do you need God to do for you this morning? What do you need God to do for you? Just tell him what's on your mind. God is able to do all things but fail. You're going through something this morning. Just give him some praise this morning. Just give him some praise and praise. You need to praise him this morning like he answered your prayers yesterday. You need to begin to praise him. If you open your mouth and give him some praise, watch God kick open the door. Watch God use the enemies to take you higher. All the promotions that you denied, every time they laugh at you, God smiled at you. Every time they talk about you, God says, no, baby, that's my friend. He's taking you higher. He's taking you higher.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no elevation without rejection.
All right now.
Listen, when you feel like your life is spinning out of control, when you feel like, God, I can't even feel the ground anymore. I'm just suspended in the air. I'm just suspended in debt. I'm just suspended in fear. I'm just suspended in worry. I can't even put my feet on the ground.
All right now.
All right. Thank
you.
And then God comes.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
yes, he will. He will come.
And when God comes,
oh, yes.
He says, I'm your rock.
Oh, yes.
I'm your rock.
Yes.
I don't care what you're going through.
Yes.
I shall not be moved.
Yes.
I don't care how bad it is.
Come on.
I shall not be moved.
Yes.
I don't care what wind is blowing. He says, I shall not be moved.
Yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord.
He says about you, I plant it like a tree. When we look at trees, and the tree has grown that way, before the tree can elevate, it must go down. Listen to me. Before you can be elevated by God, he must take you down on bending knees. Your haters think that it's a position of weakness. But God is saying, I need you to catch root down here. I need you to connect to something on the floor. The power is on the floor. The power is on bending knees. The power is when I submit myself to God. When I connect with God down here, then he begins to elevate. You need to be careful when you look at folk and you see their glory. You see them shine. You see where they live and what they drive, what they wear and how they flow. You see the glory. Ask them about their story. Ask them about the hell that they went through, the hell that they're going through just to stay there. And you got enough nerves to get jealous. You don't know where somebody been. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the walk that God had to walk through there. You don't know the pain. You don't know the suffering. And you look and you pass judgment because you see glory without understanding the story. His story. The thing that brought about the confusion is he says, or the people says, how can David say about Jesus that Jesus is the son of David, yet David said that Jesus is his Lord? Now, you can't be my Lord and my son. They were confused. See, David is saying, the son of David because he was born of a woman through the lineage of David. Mary came through the lineage of David. That's who Jesus is in the natural. In the supernatural, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became manifested flesh. So he says, in the natural, he's my son. In the supernatural, that's my dad. What do you need Jesus to be born into you this morning? He says, I'm there. You need your bills paid this week? He says, I promise to supply all of your needs.
Thank you, Lord.
You're here this morning, you worried about your child? He says, not only will I take care of your child, but out of the mouth of babes.
Yes.
I'll give you a perfect praise.
Yes. Thank you.
Whatever it is that you need God to do and to be, he says, I'm that.
Yes.
As we open the doors of the church right now, I want you to examine your heart right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I want you to think about your relationship with God.
Yes,
when you begin to examine your relationship with God,
yes, Lord.
I want you to ask yourself,
yes, Lord.
Do I have eternal life?